Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the text, everything is going swimmingly, normal, just as expected, the way the service of the word is supposed to go in Nazareth synagogue, or any synagogue for that matter. A portion from the Old Testament lectionary is read. And this Sabbath day, it's from Isaiah the prophet, chapter 61. That's a messianic text. God's promise of the Savior, Messiah, and the salvation that he will bestow upon Israel and the world. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery to the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the word of the Lord, and the congregation would have said, thanks be to God. So far, so good. And then everything changes in the service, significantly and remarkably. Jesus, who just read the Isaiah text from the lectern of the synagogue, throws the congregation an entirely huge curveball. Joseph's son has the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to preach something that had never been proclaimed at a Sabbath day synagogue service of the word. A sermon had never been preached before in a synagogue ever like this one. No one ever dared to. Until now, and his sermon is a whopper of an epiphany. Everyone who hears it is amazed, dumbfounded, astounded, and marveled. Now, why in the world would that be? Is it because the sermon that was preached was so short? If you will, only you will. No, it's because of the sermon's resounding and authoritative assertion. The sermon that Jesus preaches is this: today, this scripture, namely from Isaiah 61, is fulfilled in your hearing. That had never been preached before. So are you picking up what preacher Jesus is throwing down? Yes, that's right. He is categorically asserting that he, the one standing before them, is the promised Messiah. Standing right before the eyes of synagogue Nazareth is the long-awaited Savior. The sermon that he preaches is the epiphany, the revelation, the unwrapping of the mystery that was hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to God's people. The Savior is now here. The Messiah has arrived. Jesus fulfills the Old Testament and its promise of salvation. This is absolutely incredible, and it's joyfully wonderful for those who believe the sermon. There are those that do not. Jesus and the sermon he preaches, flat out rejected, scorned and mocked. Isn't this Joseph's son, they said? Huh? We all watched him grow up. This can't be. No way. In other words, when they ask, is this not Joseph's son? They're saying, who in the world does this Jesus think he is? By what authority does he have to talk to us in such a way like that? We know who he is, and he certainly isn't the Messiah. The son of a lowly carpenter doesn't meet messianic qualifications. Hometown boy Jesus can't be Messiah that Isaiah promised. And therefore, for this preacher named Jesus to make such a claim, well, that's just flat out rank heresy. It's blasphemy. Nothing new here. Why is that? Because Israel had the very, very bad spiritual habit of rejecting preachers that God had sent, and they had rejected the prophet's message of repentance and their call for them to believe in the promise of the coming Savior. And Jesus points out this sad history in the text, and more, especially that God's grace will go to the Gentiles if Israel continues to refuse it. Just like when Israel wouldn't listen to Elijah, God sent him to a non-Israelite, a Sidonian widow woman, for her turning from her sin and trusting in the promise. When Israel would not heed the call of repentance and faith, what did God do? He sent the prophet Elisha, not to the lepers in Israel, but rather to the Syrian commander who was dying of leprosy named Naaman, so that he would repent and believe. If Israel wouldn't, Naaman will. If Israel won't repent and believe, then the widow woman from Zarephath, she will. And so here today in Nazareth, Jesus will give nary a sign like he did at Capernaum to Epiphany, his messiahship. You remember, example, at Capernaum he did what? He healed a lame man and forgave him his sins. But at Nazareth, what will Jesus give them? Just a sermon. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That preaching is the Epiphany. That's what the Nazarethers are given to believe. They don't. The Nazareth synagogue will not repent, neither will they believe. They're offended. They are at the unbelief point. The text says that they were filled with wrath. It's just as Jesus says, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. Just like in the Old Testament. And so the Nazarethers take matters into their own hands. They will wild westly execute this false preacher and blasphemer named Jesus. The text says they rose up and drove him out of the... They didn't even have a voters meeting. They just rose up, drove him out of the town, and brought him to the brow of the hill so that they could throw him off the cliff. And when they do that, if they could have done that, that's, you know what they do in the old, those days? They'd throw him off backwards. And if the person would survive that fall, then they would hurl stones the size of basketballs until the person was dead. Yes, it's just like the old man Zechariah told Mary and Joseph at the temple that was recorded earlier in Luke's gospel when he said, "Behold, this child, namely Jesus, is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, a sign that is opposed." At Nazareth, we see this quite clearly now, don't we? A sign that is spoken against. He is rejected. However, the "today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing" sermon is also for the rising of many, as Zechariah said. For many's repentance and faith, yours. Yes, your repentance. Your turning from your sin and dying to it every day so that you will turn to God in faith in Jesus Christ for his Good Friday forgiveness and live a new life that is spelled F-A-I-T-H. I warn you, folks, don't pull a Nazareth. Don't pull an unbelief Nazareth. If you do, it will end hellaciously. Not for God, but for you. Jesus is not murdered at Nazareth. Why not? Well, his Good Friday hour hasn't come yet, and so he just passes through their midst. The text says he went away. Remember, he's God, too. He's got more places to preach, more people to hear for their what? For their repentance and faith, until it all climaxes on the hill, on a precipice in which he is nailed on the cross and then rises from the empty tomb. Now, Jesus, brothers and sisters, he has seen to it that the gospel has now come to you, Gentiles of Murdoch, Nebraska, and its surrounding communities. Over 126 years, Jesus has sent preachers named Baumgartner, Peters, Zoch, Cray, Ulmer, Berger, Bereuter, and a fool named Kuhlman. And in their mouths, he proclaims and gives you his Good Friday forgiveness, life, and salvation in sermon, in baptism, absolution, and Lord's Supper. And there you authoritatively hear from the pastor, Jesus, who says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Yes, drink it, eat it, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Brothers and sisters, if you're picking up what I'm throwing down, every time that you're at church, every time you're in the divine service, where the service of the word and the service of the sacrament are going on, the messianic salvation promised through the prophet Isaiah and all the rest of the Old Testament prophets, it is fulfilled in your hearing. Every Sunday then, is a salvational epiphany whopper. Isn't that wonderful? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.